the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you can see, today is a communion day. If you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. As we do on communion days, let's hear the land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Rejoice, people of God. Celebrate the life within you and Christ's presence in your midst. Our eyes shall be opened. The present will have new meaning, and the future will be bright with hope. Rejoice, people of God. Bow your heads before the One who is our wisdom and our strength. We place ourselves before our God, that we may be touched and cleansed by the power of God's Spirit. And as we do that, we welcome Jesus and we light the Christ candle in remembrance of him. Let's pray together. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing. Yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, whose compassion illumines the world. Transform us into the likeness of the love of Christ, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. The same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. God of grace, sometimes discipleship is so difficult. We see you standing in front of us and we look for glory. Then you tell us to expect heartbreak and challenge. We get a glimpse of your glory and we are confused, frightened, unsure what to do or say. God of grace, made known in Jesus the Christ, in the challenge and in the glory you call us to look toward you, to listen to you. Grant us the grace and wisdom to watch, to listen, to follow, to learn, and in the end to possibly understand as we join you on the way, as we explore the glorious kingdom. Amen.
Jesus admonished Peter, James, and John not to tell of what they had witnessed on the mountain until he was resurrected. But we can tell what we have seen and what we have heard of God's glory. Here is the good news. Jesus lives. He's raised and we are forgiven. So go tell this amazing news. Go tell of God's love, because in this, God is well pleased. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, as we prepare to gather together with Jesus at his table, let's confess our faith together by saying together the new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from the New Revised Standard Version, Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35, The Shining Face of Moses. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Today is Transfiguration Sunday. So you might actually begin to sense a shift this week as we move out of the season of Epiphany and into the season of Lent. Over the weeks since Christmas, we have been exploring what it means to us that Jesus is the light of the world. This Epiphany theme of light really reaches its climax today as we celebrate the day that Jesus went up the mountain with three of his closest disciples and was transfigured in front of them. Now, you might be wondering why, if it's Transfiguration Sunday, we haven't just heard one of the gospel stories about that incredible event. We didn't have a gospel reading today. Well, my hope is that today, as we hear this Exodus reading, we might discover a new depth to the story of Jesus' transfiguration through that story. In our Wednesday Bible study, we have been learning these stories from Exodus, and we have found that knowing them actually shines a whole new light on the stories of Jesus' life. The Exodus stories bring a richness to the New Testament. These Exodus stories were the stories of Jesus' own faith, so he knew them well. And because he did, they shaped and formed much, if not all, of what he did. Now, without a doubt, the events that we have just heard about in our Exodus reading today, they would have been clear in Jesus' own mind on the day of his transfiguration. This Exodus story would have probably also been in the minds of Peter, John, and James, those three disciples who got to go up the mountain with Jesus that day. These two stories are very much connected. And to discover that connection, and even more importantly, why it matters, we really need to read these stories side by side So we've heard the Exodus story from our scripture reading. And so now, before we go any further, let's just refresh our memories about what happened when Jesus was transfigured. Luke tells us that Jesus climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. While he was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. And what a glorious appearance they made. They talked over his exodus, the one Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. But when they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and the two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter blurted this out without thinking. While he was babbling on like this, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. As they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of the cloud. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus there alone. They were speechless, and they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. So, hearing that, thinking about what we heard in our scripture reading, we can see that there are a lot of similarities between these two stories. Both of them happened away from the crowds, in an isolated place on the top of a mountain, and that gives us the sense that both experiences were in some way exclusive. Moses went up the mountain alone. Jesus took just three of his closest disciples. The fact that these events of these stories were only witnessed by a select few gives them both an air of mystery and intimacy. Obviously, both encounters were marked by incredible light radiating from each of the central figures, from Moses and from Jesus. They both reflected the light of the God that they met with while they were up on the mountain. And on both occasions, that light is seen as and understood to be the visible glory of God. And finally, in both instances, God gave words to be shared with the world when the time was right. For Moses, it was the law in the form of the Ten Commandments given for the people to follow in their life together. For Jesus' disciples, it was God's affirmation that Jesus is his son and that we need to listen to him. So you can see on many levels, in many layers, these two events are connected. We can also see why the people at Jesus' transfiguration would have had this story of Moses coming down the mountain from meeting with God in their minds. Now, the connections are interesting for people like me who are keen to learn more about the biblical story. But for all of us this morning, the question is, how do they actually help us in our faith? How do these two stories help the vast majority of us who have never really had a mountaintop experience of God like that? Well, the real gift in hearing these two stories together today comes when we put both of them into the larger context of God's story with us. The events we just heard about in our Exodus reading happened in a time when God was just beginning to set up the foundation of life for and life with his people. God was going to some pretty great lengths to establish the way he could be there with his people as they made their way through those 40 years in the wilderness. He made Moses the mediator so that through him, God could talk to his people and lead them. And through Moses, God gave explicit instructions for them to build a tabernacle, the place where God would come to rest, to be amongst his people. The whole section of Exodus leading up to this passage describes how God made the way for his people to be able to experience his faithful presence there with them. It's all about God's determination to be with us. That's what this is all about. It was also about ensuring that everyone else who might be watching would know that the Israelites were God's people. Having God's presence there in the tabernacle, right in the midst of their daily lives, would really stand out. It would mark them as people who clearly had a special relationship with their God. Their God who wasn't looking over them from afar somewhere, but was rather right there with them every day. Our reading today describes what happened when Moses came down from his mountaintop meeting with God. God made sure that the people knew that Moses had been with him. The light radiating from Moses' face told that tale. It was important for Moses to be able to be with God. And it seems that it was equally as important for the people to know that he had been with God. The same must be said for Jesus as we think about the day of his transfiguration. Through Jesus, God had once again made a way to be with his people, not just up on a mountain, but wherever Jesus was. And in having Peter, James, and John witness his radiant glory, and then hear God's words proclaiming Jesus as his son, God was ensuring once again that people would know that their God was with them. God has always intended for us to know this. He's always intended to be close to us in our midst. This is one of the most incredible things about the God we worship, that he is absolutely determined to be with us. And the story of God with us is a story of God making ways to come closer and closer to us as our story with him progresses. In the time of the Exodus, God made the way for his presence to rest in the tabernacle, with his people camped all around. In the time of Jesus, God got even closer. By coming to live in human flesh, God actually literally dwelt amongst us. God came close enough for us to touch. And since Pentecost, God has come even closer as he possibly can, giving us his spirit to actually live within us. So you can see that God's plan and his desire has always been to be able to be with us. He's here, right here. And if you really stop to think about that, it's absolutely incredible. God is here wanting to be with us, hoping that we will each make time and space in our lives to sense his presence, to know that he is with us throughout whatever each day brings. Friends, I said near the beginning of this message that only select people were invited to those mountaintop experiences. Well, thank goodness, things are different now. Now God is graciously and lovingly holding out his hands to each of us, inviting us to join him, to experience his glorious presence every day, and to be changed in that experience. Because that's what happens when we spend time with God. We are changed. We become like him. We reflect his glory just like Moses and Jesus reflected his glory. They each radiated the light that was the glory of God, We may not glow with brilliant light, but we can absolutely embody and radiate the love that is the essence of who and how God is. Radiate and embody that into the world around us. Friends, the truth is that countless saints throughout the ages have proven that when we make time to spend with God, when we make that a priority and a regular practice in our lives, we begin to change. And people sense that change, whether they know what it's about or not. They sense that there's something different about us, something special. And as it was for the Israelites, that something special is the means by which God works through us to move his mission of love in this world forward. We can't make any of this happen just with our own efforts, but we can answer God's gentle, nudging invitation to spend time with him, however that happens best for us. And in the words of someone much smarter than I am, the great Swiss theologian Karl Barth, when we do make time for God, he's the one who makes us radiant. We ourselves cannot put on bright faces, but neither can we prevent them from shining. Because when we look up to God, our faces do just shine. Amen.
Grace. Good morning, everyone. I love this time of year, no, not because of budgets, but because it's a time of promise and renewal and wonder, and the new opportunities to be close to God are so present. It's also a time to learn what worked last year and what didn't work last year. God, ever with us, as we gather our hearts and souls in prayer, we ask that you fill our hearts with your love and joy as we enjoy this time of promise and hope. Let us pray. God of the promise of morning sunshine, as your family here at St. Stephen's gathers to worship you and bring forward our concerns for children across the world who don't recognize the wonder and mystery of your bright morning sunshine, and those whose lives are just so difficult it is hard to see the flicker of hope that you always offer. We pray that you share your morning light with everyone, and that the light that you placed within each of us sends a signal to all that love is more powerful than hate, and honesty much more powerful than lies. Great teacher, remind us that your children are the most important thing we can do is to be honest in how we love as Jesus loves. Teach each of us to find ways to turn the other cheek and to share unreservedly with those who would be our enemies or those unknown to us that seem to want to make our lives difficult. We know that Jesus taught us to forgive and to love and to pray for those who we would rather ignore. Lord, we pray that with your help, we can learn to act as you would have us act and love as you would have us love. God of renewal, what better time than spring for us to remember that we are to live for the promise of today and not to worry about the past or what might come tomorrow. However, we do find this hard, and we pray that you continually remind us that as with your risen Son Jesus, there is always a time for renewal and working with you by our side to bring about changes that will deliver your promise of love and hope to all of your children in this community and around the world. Most powerful God, we are constantly confronted by images of death and destruction that wars are bringing to many parts of your world. We know that you have a greater plan, but it is hard for us to see. We trust that you will comfort all of those who are witness to the devastation of war. God, we pray that you enter the souls of those who wage war on their loved ones, on children, and on people they will never know for the sake of personal gain or prejudice or hatred. We pray that you will show them the wonder of your teaching of love your neighbor as yourself and how to love as Jesus loves, so that through this knowledge, they can bring peace to our world soon. God of new opportunities, we pray that you will show us the way to make a difference in the lives of those around us who do not feel the power of renewal and are taking on new opportunities. We raise up to you all of those who are hungry, living in poverty, in prison, or in poor health because of droughts, wars, or selfishness, or simply age. We pray that you help them to find sustenance for their bodies and peace for their minds as you share your grace with them. We also raise up to you all of the caregivers around the world and here in Oceanside who work tirelessly to make people feel welcome and safe and loved. We pray that you enable us to see the new opportunities that you present for us to share your grace-filled hope and love with each other and with everyone we come in contact with. Lord, you are our great leader, and you possess all knowledge of what has been and what is to come. We pray that you faithfully share that knowledge with all of those in leadership positions here at St. Stephen's and in the world, so that we might bring forward actions that can heal all wounds, rebuild our connections to you, and that will once again bring the promise of the bright morning sunshine, the light of Jesus Christ, to all corners of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, gather the elements in your homes and come and join me at Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and the angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, all your works praise your name. You are merciful and mighty, God in three persons. On the holy mountain, the divine glory of the incarnate Word was revealed. From the heavens, your voice proclaimed your beloved Son, Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We rejoice in the divine majesty of Christ, whose glory shone forth even when confronted with the cross. When the hour had come for him to be glorified, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do it for the remembrance of me." Holy God, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you've given us, this bread and this cup, we praise you and we bless you. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Creator God, be present with your life-giving Word and Holy Spirit, that we and your entire church may be called out and made whole through this supper. Grant that all who share the communion of the body and blood of your Son may be united in him, and may we all remain faithful in love and hope until we feast joyfully with Christ at the coming of the kingdom. Amen. Friends, let's pray together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. This is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume the elements in your home.
The presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him our sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still for
of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Having eaten at Jesus' table and shared in this meal, shared in his presence with us, let's pray together our prayer after communion. Life-giving God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence in the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal. Unite us with all who are fed by the life of Christ, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your church may be a source of hope in an uncertain world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
With gratitude for all the ways that you give to the work of Jesus here at St. Stephen's, I ask that you pray the offertory prayer with me, offering these gifts back to God and the building of his kingdom. Let's pray. God of extravagant mercy, with hands outstretched, you have poured out wonder and pleasure and delight, goodness and beauty and bounty. Take these offerings, we pray, as our protest against all that is evil and ugly and impoverished, trivial and wretched and tyrannical in our world and in ourselves. And thus may we and others know ourselves to be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have a couple of announcements this week for us. The first is that we are just about in Lent. It starts this coming Wednesday, March 5th. And as is our tradition here at St. Stephen's, we will enter Lent with a morning service that Wednesday, an Ash Wednesday service. So it will be at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. There will only be an in-person version of that service. So if you're local, we hope you might be able to come. It is always a very meaningful, intentional, and special way to enter Lent. So Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday at 9 a.m. right here in the sanctuary. And then next Sunday, March 9th, we are going to be gathering here locally for one combined 10 a.m. service. And we're doing that so that right after that service, we can all go into the church hall, share a lunch together, and have some conversation and discussion about the future of St. Stephen's. The board is needing to make some decisions for these coming couple of years, and they need information from the congregation before they can make those decisions faithfully and in a way that represents the will of the congregation. And so we hope that if you are local, you will make a special effort to come and be a part of that service at 10 and the conversation that happens after, probably around 11:30-ish. If you're not local and you are a regular viewer of this online service, we would like to know what you think. We would like to hear your voice and you to have input into this conversation. So call the church office or email us. We want to know what you think about the ministry of this service, what it means to you, how it works for you, maybe how it doesn't work for you. We need feedback on that. We also would like to know if you have thoughts about the larger life of the congregation. We are wanting to get a sense of what is important in the life of St. Stephen's right now. And so if you can help us to discern that, we would really, really want to hear from you. So again, just call the church office, talk to Adele, talk to me, talk to Fiona, or send us an email. Thank you. Friends, come down from the mountain with mountain-like faith. Walk on God's paths as bright, shining lights. Live in God's ways with faith, hope, and love. And go into the world transformed and renewed. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.